You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
I'm 17, and I'm having a little girl.
How is it that you don't want her, but you are forcing me to keep her?
Honestly, if I'd had a child with that man, I'd have killed myself.
Dads and moms, come out of this place! This place is a place of murder!
Are you gonna take care of these babies? Go to the public aid office and tell them to quit having babies. You worried about somebody else's business. It's not
you. I just wanna graduate high school and then go to college.
What are you gonna do about all the women that need abortions?
I can't believe that I am a citizen of a country that says it's okay to kill a baby.
I look at it helping a young woman get on with her life.
People telling their stories is so important because we keep those things locked inside of ourselves and they kill us.
That's a trailer from a new HBO documentary, Abortion Stories Women Tell. We're going to be talking a little bit about that documentary and about a new tactic on the part of pro-abortion forces, the storytelling. Our guest for the next few minutes says that storytelling is the new mantra. It's the new safe, legal, and rare. And where did rare go, by the way? Nicole King joins us, managing editor of the Howard Center's quarterly journal, The Family in America, a Journal of Public Policy. And she's author of a recent column for Chronicles magazine titled Telling Your Abortion Story. Nicole, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
You say that storytelling is the new safe, legal, and rare mantra of the pro-abortion movement. What do you mean by that?
Well, if your listeners remember, back in the, I believe it was the first Clinton administration, safe, legal, and rare was the mantra that the pro-choice movement liked to repeat over and over. This procedure is necessary, they seem to imply, but nobody wants it to happen a lot. Everybody seemed to be in agreement that abortion was not something that you wanted to, you know, have cavalierly or have casually, hence the rare. That has changed. The pro-choice movement has become much more aggressive and assertive, and there's been quite a bit of documentation of the fact that Hillary Clinton has very deliberately dropped the rare from that phrase. So storytelling is kind of, there's several organizations out there that use storytelling as a way to make that transition. So if all these women who have had abortions could just, you know, keep talking about them, we can end the stigma of the word rare.
So behind the dropping of the rare, I guess first, behind the inclusion of the rare 20 years ago was at least a tacit admission that this is a necessary evil or
right.
Not a good thing, and that's gone.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, if you want something to be rare, you're admitting that it's dangerous or it's not to the best interest of someone or there's some sort of bad thing that you're trying to avoid. And we can't have that anymore, apparently.
Does the storytelling also serve the purpose of kind of removing the shame and the stigma that the pro-abortion movement insists continues to attach to the women who, even women who've had abortions and regret them?
Yes. So the organizations out there who most aggressively use storytelling use exactly that phrase. They want to end the shame, the stigma surrounding not only unplanned pregnancy, but abortion itself. And so they insist it's still there. And some of the more aggressive, you know, just to cite an example, one of the more aggressive groups out there is a group called Lady Parts Justice, pretty raunchy, and they use comedy, of all things, to try to convince women around the country to get together and to tell their abortion stories. So, you know, the insinuation seems to be we've all had them and we should all be talking about them. So that, you know, as these things become more popular, we're going to simply beat the pro-life movement over the head with these stories.
Tell us about the 3-in-1 campaign.
Sure. So the 3-in-1 campaign is based on the statistic, which is oft cited by the pro-choice movement, that, or 1 in 3, I'm sorry, that 1 in 3 women has had an abortion. And that's, it refers to a fact sheet by the Guttmacher Institute a few years back. I think it was a 2011 fact sheet, which was based primarily on one study. There's lots of issues with that number, the first being that the researchers themselves say this should be, at best, a very, very, very loose number. You know, based on our data manipulation, et cetera, we really can't be sure about this. And second of all, they're using very old data. And the abortion numbers of abortion per woman have dropped drastically since about 2008. Nonetheless, the name continues because 1 in 3 sounds like a lot of people, you know. That makes it sound like every other neighbor on your block, practically, has had this done. And so the 1 in 3 campaign invites women to post their stories online, you know, hold events, but also submit their stories for possible publication on their website. So expressly trying to get these experiences out there.
Are they interested in the stories that women tell about, and I would think it would probably not be a rare story to be heard, about being pressured to have an abortion by parent, boyfriend, husband? Not the picture that they want to paint of a woman gladly exercising her constitutional rights.
Right. I say no, not terribly. The stories that I have seen most are women who chose abortion because it was not a convenient time for them. And these do exist because they were in a bad relationship. So there's an admission there that sometimes these are not great, but it always goes back to the woman herself exercising her own free choice.
Are they interested in women who say, I regret having done it?
I haven't seen a lot of those. If they exist, they're not very many.
You say that the abortion movement really can't debate the facts anymore because they've decisively lost on that. What are you talking about?
I believe so. If you look simply at the numbers, we have seen an incredible transition in the past few years. The abortion numbers themselves have continued to go down. We're at about our lowest point since Roe v. Wade, which is great, great news. We've also got about the lowest number of abortion clinics throughout the nation. So the public tide has shifted. And the public tide has shifted, I believe, because the pro-life movement has been simply, and to their praise, tireless in their efforts. They have hammered, they have researched, they have prayed, they have, you know, we've done everything in our power to show the evils to the women, to the babies, to the families involved in this. And the result is, and this is why abortion used to be, we used to want it to be safe, legal, and rare, because everyone agreed there were some severe health consequences for the woman herself. There were severe moral consequences. And because I believe the protest movement has largely lost, and they realize they're losing on the front of public opinion, on the front of research, they've shifted the conversation entirely. The conversation now is entirely a matter of women's rights. And if it's women's rights, well, that's simply, we're not going to debate that. That's something that they simply want to close off to debate.
Does this have the effect, in your mind, of missing the point about the objection that, I'm talking about the storytelling approach, missing the point that those who advocate for the unborn really want to keep at the center of this debate, and that is the unborn themselves?
No, the baby's a very inconvenient truth in all of this. For sure. The pro-choice movement is trying to make abortion all about the women themselves. And so the way they're doing that through narrative is you hear the story of, you know, the woman who partied too hard one night and ended up with an oops baby, or the woman who was with the wrong guy at the wrong time and she knew that couldn't work. And so to advance her life and her agenda and her career and et cetera, you know, it was necessary to get rid of this pregnancy. So it's very much shifted. They don't want you to think about the baby. And that is, I suggest, one reason why the liberal establishment just had a screaming tantrum last year over the Planned Parenthood videos, because that brought to the public eye in a very real and gripping and horrific way that there is a child here.
When I first saw the news release about the HBO special abortion and the stories that the women tell, the first thing I thought was, and tell me if you think this is a bad idea, you won't hurt my feelings. The pro-life movement should have been making this documentary. Mm-hmm. They should have actually talked to women who have an abortion and let them tell their stories without leaving out the baby.
Right.
And without leaving out the parts where the woman says, this was probably a huge mistake and things
right.
like that. What do you think?
Right. For sure. For sure. I think that in many other areas, not just life issues, the left is very much, they're very good at storytelling. Very, very good. And that's something that the right and the pro-life movement, I think, would gain from studying, in effect, is that there's so many more stories about the impact of an abortion on a woman, the regret, the psychological trauma. They see an increased, women who have post-abortive women see an increase in depression, suicidal behavior even. And many of them do regret that decision, wonder what would things have been like if I had chosen to keep my baby. And those are stories that this movement are not telling, and we should be. We should be, for sure.
Nicole King is managing editor of the Howard Center's quarterly journal, The Family in America, a journal of public policy. She's author of a recent column for Chronicles magazine titled Telling Your Abortion Story. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Nicole, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we are going to respond to your email and to your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.